You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Be here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest and good friend is Vince Gabriel. Vince has Gabriel Fitness and Performance, and he is now sharing some of the expertise that he's gained over the years of building that into a powerhouse facility with other fitness professionals. So Vince is kind of the epitome of what I would consider a guy who's designed and created his own ideal business. So this was an absolutely perfect guest, a perfect opportunity to get Vince on. So welcome, Vince.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Pat.
So Vince, let's kind of take people back and give them a little bit of your backstory, how you got into the industry. That way, maybe they have a little bit of context for how you've really grown to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. I'm definitely considered a black sheep among everyone in my family. I live in New Jersey, grew up in New Jersey, and everyone, my sisters, my dad, my brother-in-law, they all commute every day to New York City from New Jersey, schlep in with their suits on, and do the finance and do the thing like that. And I was the only person in my family that decided to become a personal trainer. Instead of my, they're all looking at me like I was totally crazy. But the fitness journey started when I was playing football in college. I played at Temple University, and I dealt with a lot of, like probably most people listening to this, dealt with injuries, which, you know, they were probably better in the weight room and better at squatting and deadlifting and benching than they were actually at football, which was definitely me. But I kind of just grew a love for training and strength and conditioning. And realized I was majoring in business at the time, and realized I really didn't care for it that much. I was taking classes like macroeconomics, and I was just kind of bored. And I really was just thinking about the gym all the time. So I decided to become a trainer. I got my first certification from the ISSA way back when, in the early 2000s. And I picked up everything I owned and moved to San Diego, California. Got a job there at a place called Fitness Quest 10. Some of the guys might know. I know you're friends with Todd Durkin, and I got a job out there, and I trained there for 5 years and, you know, loved it, and it was great. And then, you know, picked up a California girl, married her, and then moved back to New Jersey and started Gabriel Fitness in 2008. So that's kind of what we've been doing for the last 10 years.
Man, ISSA, I got my first certification when I was in the ISSA. So
Doc Kreese, rest in peace, Doc, because we just lost him recently. Yeah.
So yeah. Talk a little bit about how you went from going out and spending time working at Fitness Quest 10 to taking the plunge and opening your own facility.
Yeah, I mean, I always knew when I decided to become a trainer, I kind of knew that I wanted to own my own business at some point. I said that from the get-go. I said, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to own a gym at some point in time. And it really kind of was a very cool thing for me because I always had a vision. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, in business that we need to have is like, you know, a clear picture of what the future looked like. And I remember when I was, you know, in college sitting there and drawing like pictures of gyms and like finding out how many hammer strength chest press machines I would have in my gym and how many leg extension and leg curl machines I'd have in my gym. This was in the early 2000s. But I always knew and I always had this vision of creating some type of a business because I did see the writing on the wall, not just in terms of what I wanted, but also, you know, financially. I knew that, you know, I wanted to provide a great life for my family. And, you know, the salary of a trainer working at another gym was not going to cut and create the lifestyle that I want for my family. So that kind of drew me to this entrepreneurial venture, which has now, you know, started with one gym and turned into, you know, multiple businesses. So the cool thing about all that is I had the vision from the get-go, which I think a lot of people don't have. And then, you know, I just, you know, put one foot in front of the other and walked right toward it.
Very cool. So let's talk about the early days of Gabriel Fitness and Performance and, you know, how you grew that, because, you know, I know it wasn't too far in that you joined my mastermind group. And at that point, you really were making the evolution from being kind of an in the trenches guy to working a lot more on the business. But I mean, there was some stuff that preceded that.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I drove from California to New Jersey. We were planning on taking like a big long road trip. When we got to Kansas City, one of the guys I was training played for the Chiefs, and we went to a Chiefs game, and we were like, we're kind of sick of this road trip. And we drove from Kansas City all the way to New Jersey straight. The next day I woke up and I started the business, and we actually moved into my parents' house and, you know, started the business, you know, from there. And it was very, the beginning of Gabriel Fitness was very, very grassroots. It was me. I had a Toyota Tacoma. I loaded prowlers and weights and medicine balls and all that stuff into my truck. And I would drive to different fields and train kids on fields. It really started a sports performance business. And I didn't train any athletes in the beginning, except for a couple people that I trained in my mom's basement. The best grassroots story that I can tell of the early days of GFT was when I was having this camp. And since I was living at my parents' house, I didn't want all the calls to go to my cell phone. So my parents had like a secondary line. So when people would call up to register for the camp, because I didn't even know what lead pages or anything like that was then. I wasn't collecting emails at the time. It was just call me. So they would call up. And there was one mom that called. She's, I said, hello. And she's like, hey, I'd like to sign my son up for the camp. And all of a sudden I hear, hello, hello. And I'm like, mom, I got it. And I was like, it was like the ultimate grassroots feeling. It's like, well, I'm trying to sell a mom to bring her kid to my speed camp. And my mom's picking up the phone because it was in my parents' secondary home line. So it always brings me back to the great times of the early stages of a GFT. So we did that for about a year, year and a half. You know, just training kids on fields. And then we opened our first facility, you know, about a year and a half later. And then we were in that facility for about 9 years. We actually just moved in the last 6 months into a larger location.
So I remember the conversation with you distinctly where you had carved out your mornings and you would get to the gym. I don't remember the exact detail of like, okay, I'm getting to the gym at 7 or 6:30 or something, and I'm free till 11. And I don't know what to do with my time. I've never had this type of time before. And I mean, that was the shift that most people never make, is you figured out how to create a business that you were acting as the business owner, not the day-to-day technician. Obviously, you figured out a lot of ways to utilize your time in a way that's kept growing this business and expanding all the things you're doing. But how did you make that shift from technician to business owner?
Yeah, that's a great question. And before I really get into what I did in that shift, I think that the biggest thing that enabled me to make the shift was the people that I hired. Because I think a lot of people, they never are able to make the shift and never are able to make that change to go from trainer to business owner because they don't know how to find good people that are going to run the show when they're not there. So that was the one thing that I feel like, you know, helped me a ton. Actually, my mom, it was an HR person. So she kind of taught me everything she knew about hiring and things like that. So I was able to find some really, really good people, some of them still with me pretty early on. And it was almost like they were mini extensions of me. And there wasn't like this big drop off where I was like, all right, I was this superstar trainer. And all of a sudden I brought these, you know, guys in that were just, you know, very, very average. It was kind of like I found people that had the same drive, the same passion, the same qualities as I did. And that kind of gave me the freedom to say, all right, I can kind of step back right now. These guys got it. And then, you know, that created a whole new problem. It's like when you solve one problem, you know, another creates. And I struggled with this challenge for many years. But it's like, okay, it's, you know, the morning. I don't have to get up and go to the gym because I have other people doing it. What am I going to do? And that's when I started kind of directing my expertise. And that's obviously with a lot of your help, Pat, towards becoming a business person. Right. And I made the shift, said, okay, I was a trainer for many years, but like now I'm in a career change. I had a career change, but I really didn't change businesses. But the career change was I need to become an expert at running a business, not an expert as a trainer. So that was a mindset that I had. So I started turning, you know, to people like you, Pat, to learn about sales and marketing and developing systems and how to, you know, retain customers for the long haul. And my DVDs went from, you know, Mike Boyle and Greg Cook, you know, to people like Pat Rigsby and Thomas Plummer and all things like that. And, you know, that's kind of where. So I think it was this consistent drive to become a better business owner because I knew that that's the next knowledge I needed to take it to the next level.
Awesome. So let's talk about your business today because, you know, obviously, I mean, you've made this just awesome evolution from employee to basically business owner who's wearing a lot of different hats, I guess, in his business to more of a business owner that maybe is less of a technician and more of a leader to now having kind of a multifaceted business where you've got a really successful brick and mortar business, but you're also sharing so much of what you do with other fitness professionals, gym owners out there to help them kind of follow that same path.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the, you know, and this is like kind of a challenging story for me to tell, but the time that made me really realize that we've created something, you know, pretty good was when my dad had a stroke and it was like a really, really bad one. And I had to drive into New York City every day and be with my mom and my sisters. And it was just like a total life-changing experience, you know, from a family perspective. And I was gone from the gym. I was totally gone, you know, like physically for, you know, multiple months and mentally for, you know, several months. It was just, and, you know, we're kind of still struggling with it, to, you know, today as a family. But in that time that I was like just completely absent, you know, something with the weird happened. I didn't realize if I just totally did nothing, would our business continue to grow? So I knew we had, you know, a decent business, but I didn't think if I just did nothing that it would continue to run and grow. And it did. And it was unfortunately my dad having a stroke to teach me, you know, that lesson. But that's when I really said, okay, because before when I was talking earlier, it was like the business was running in terms of me not doing the training. It wasn't running with me not doing the sales and the marketing and the operations and all things like that. But now I've had much, much more time because, you know, the business has, you know, people in place that are running the show that I can focus on other fitness professionals, other gyms. And that's when I created, you know, a business called Fitness Business University, which is, you know, a consulting business that helps fitness professionals become better business owners. So that's kind of, you know, the mission of that. And that's what I spend most of my time, you know, doing these days now.
So let's talk a little bit about Gabriel Fitness and Performance and kind of the state of where it's at today so people can maybe understand exactly what you've been able to build and see what's possible if they were to kind of follow the same path.
Yeah, I think that it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with people, you know, right people, right seats. We've all heard that before. But when I finally kind of decided to give people true ownership, and if you really take a step back and look at the main functions, you know, of a business, it's marketing, it's sales, it's operations is what happens, you know, in the trenches in terms of the actual gym. And then it's the money, it's the finance. And those are the four, you know, main functions of a business. I feel like when I was able to give those four things up and fully, fully, completely delegate those functions of the business, that's when I was truly free to go off and create another business. So we now, if our business does not generate 16 leads a week, there is a person that's solely responsible for that. And it wasn't until we made, you know, that jump to give people that ownership and delegate that responsibility to them that I was able to kind of step away and focus on these things. So that's kind of the thing. I think it really comes back to people and systems. I really, really think it does. Like it's people, it's you have the right people in the right places, you know, working on, you know, the right systems. And I think that's what creates the recipe for a successful gym.
Well, how many people do you guys serve now? I mean, I know how many leads you need to get in to be successful. But I mean, let's talk a little bit about how big an impact you're having, so people see that, man, I mean, this isn't just a little kind of hole in the wall endeavor.
Yeah, we do a split business. Financially, our revenue is much higher on the adult side. We have about 250 adults that train with us. And then we have another ranging from like 100 to 150, depending on the season, youth athletes. But, you know, our main focus is the adult population. That's really where we would say we are an adult training facility that trains some athletes in the afternoon. And our, if you walk into our facility, you'll see that it's focused on those 250 adults. You'll see the quotes on the wall. You'll see the way the equipment is. You'll see the cleanliness of the facility. It's all towards that very specific target market. And I think that that's a big mistake a lot of young gyms make, is they train. We did the same thing for a very long time, too long, is they get in the middle. And it kind of like they're trying to be, you know, both. They're trying to be an expert at both. And it's really hard to do that because you spread yourself, you know, very thin. So I think that that's one thing and suggestion I really teach is like, what is the target market that you're going to be the hero to? And you can have secondary markets, but not until you truly master that one first.
Very cool. So let's dig in and kind of leverage you for some advice. I mean, you're coaching fitness business owners every day. So as far as the lessons that you've learned along the way, would you mind sharing two or three of the most important ones?
Absolutely. So if I was a, and this is what I tell all young people, because you don't think about this when you're 23, but I right now, I live in New Jersey, which is a pretty expensive area to live. And I have three children. I have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And life is busy and life is full. And, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money. You know, that $2,500 check that we write every month to send our kids to nursery school is big. And so I think that the number one thing that I tell even young trainers and especially young business owners is just to save money every month, is to always put away, even when you feel like you don't need to, or you don't have to, is to put away money. And my brother-in-law is a financial advisor, and he's always pushing me in, which I always do, is to invest money, you know, in some type of an index fund. And this is not to give you investment advice or anything like that, but to simply from as young age of as possible is to put away a certain percentage of the money you're making. And I think that, you know, financial security is a really important thing, you know, in your life. So that'll probably be the first lesson that I'd say is just start your business and start your career putting a little bit away every month. The second thing is your decision to hire. I really do. I talk about this a lot on my blogs, and we have a podcast coming out as well soon. But if you want to have a great business, you need to find great people. And a mistake that I see made is, especially with trainers, is they try and find good trainers. I do not look for good trainers. I don't care what trainers know. You know, when they come in, I look for really good quality human beings. And, you know, defining what a really good quality human being is, you know, is different for different people. I look at it as, you know, do they have integrity? Are they hardworking? Are they going to learn from their mistakes? Do they care about other people? Those are the things that I really think make a great team member. So, and your business will only go as far, you know, as the people that you put out on the floor to represent your company. So a lot of thought needs to go into those certain qualities that you're looking for. And when you hire somebody and when you bring on a new trainer, a new admin person, you need to think about it. Does this person have these qualities that I'm looking for? And I really think that that's the one thing that we've been able to do that's helped us be successful, is just finding great human beings and then having a system and a process to turn them into great coaches, to turn them into great admins, to turn them into great marketing people. So that is the thing. Find the right people, develop the right system to teach them what they need to know based on your methodology. And then, you know, the sky's the limit.
You know, the insight you offered about investing in index funds, and clearly I'm anything but a financial planner, I think that opens up an interesting topic that I want to touch on just for a moment, because a lot of times, you know, we as small business owners don't think about what we're going to be doing down the line, right? We think of the here and now, we think we're kind of invincible. And maybe there's a false belief that we're just going to build this business and sell it for some pot of gold there at the end of the rainbow. But the reality is, I think there's two types of businesses at like ends of the spectrum. And then there's kind of this continuum in between. I think there's like a cash flow business and a cash out business. Mm. In a cash out business, you build it up and you sell it for that big payday. In a cash flow business, well, you need to be taking some money today and investing it. And if you do it well, then you probably are going to end up with a lot more money at the end of the time that you want to own this business than if you would have just built it up and sold it off. And unfortunately, we're in an industry where if you have a single site location, yeah, you may be able to get a decent price for your business when you do want to sell, but there's virtually no way you're going to be able to cash out with enough to retire. So I think that playing the cash flow mindset is the way that we approach this. And starting to invest, you can really do a lot of good. And our business lends itself to that. I mean, you can take on one extra client and just invest that money in some conservative, safe approach like an index fund. And when it's time that you want to end, you'll probably have more money that you've accrued for through investing than you'd ever be able to sell for. So I'm glad you touched on that.
Yeah, thanks.
So tell me, like, if you had any other tips or bits of advice or anything that you could offer a business owner who has a business now, but they want to evolve, they want to continue to improve, what would that be?
Well, I think the first thing is they need to know what they want. And that's, I think, a big point of confusion among young gym owners that I talk to, is they're kind of just treading water and they don't know what they really, really want. And it's really hard to help someone. And there's a quote there, I think it says something like, if you don't know what you want, no one can help you. So I think getting clear on what they want it to look like in 3 years, in 5 years, basically having some kind of a clear picture of vision for what actually you're going after, and then actually putting that to pen and paper, to actually writing that down. One of my mentors is a guy named Ari Weinzweig. You heard of him, Pat?
Yes.
Ari's actually a friend of mine. It's funny, he's the owner of Zingerman's Deli, which is the $60 million business in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And he has these really, really good series of books that you guys should check out. Really good series of books. And he puts his email in there. So one day I just emailed him and then we started, you know, corresponding back and forth. We actually became friends. But he has this exercise where you actually write down a story. It's called visioning. And you write down a story of what you want your gym to look like or what you want your business to look like, you know, in 3 and 5 years. And that's one thing that when I did that, you know, I think it was like 4 years ago, it is eerie when I think about it. It's eerie how close the new facility that we're in now is to what I wrote down 4 years ago. So I think that that's the first thing. And when you want to evolve, you got to know, like, do you want to open up a second location? Do you want to open up multiple locations? Do you want to do consulting? Do you want to sell? I think that it's important to sit down. And again, it's not going to end up exactly perfect in what you write down. But here's the thing. I think if you put it down and you put one foot in front of the other and go after it, you're going to get pretty close. But I think that if you're not sure and you're not clear on what you truly want, that's one of the challenging things that people have.
That's outstanding. And yes, I can't recommend that series of books enough. And we'll make sure that shows up in the show notes. So,
oh, yeah.
As we wrap up here, I mean, I know you've shared a lot of great stuff and people are going to want more from you and they're going to want to connect with you and learn more of how you kind of made this journey possible. Where can they find you?
They can just go to my website. VinceGabriel.com is where kind of I'm putting a lot of the content out. I've been, you know, writing regular blog posts. As of this recording, I started recording a podcast. We haven't released it yet, but the podcast will be out soon. We run a 2-day mentorship that we run a couple of times a year, so you could see us live. there. And, you know, I do, you know, the tour, I spoke with you at IDEA, which is actually where we got reconnected, which is awesome, out in Vegas. And, you know, I'll be speaking on the Perform Better tour this year. So kind of out and about, but probably the main place that people can get in touch with me is through vincegabriel.com, and they can just schedule a call. I do a free call with anyone, you know, that's interested in, you know, doing something with us, and, you know, they can just put in their info and then give us a call.
Well, I'll tell you, this is something we'll clearly have in the show notes, because Vince is doing some great things. I was so excited to be reconnected with Vince when we got together out in Vegas at IDEA, and I suspect we're going to be crossing paths a few times, not only like mastermind meetings, but out there, you know, at Perform Better or at the Rise event in California, different places. So
oh, yeah.
Sure that you come out and see what he has to offer. And if you can make it to his mentorship, there's probably no better way that you're going to learn how to take a business from being a kind of a self-employed operation to a business that you truly feel like a business owner than to step in and see it firsthand and see how he's done it. So I can't recommend that strongly enough. So Vince, thank you so much for being on and spending some time with us, and I really appreciate it. And everybody listening in, thank you for listening to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.